Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here in the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Capella Minerals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol CMIL. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Eric Roth. Now, Eric, you and I chatted in the second half of last year to discuss the change in focus of Capella Minerals. Renewed focus in Scandinavia, one project in Sweden, two in Norway, and also a focus in Canada with two projects, both with JV partners. We're going to focus in Scandinavia and more specifically on Norway today because of news that came out last week regarding the Sjoli project. Now, this is a potential high-grade copper project. There has been a couple past producing mines on this entire land package, but this news release really is focused on the targeting that is going on within the Sjoli project. Eric, take us through this work, this targeting work that you are hoping produces some attractive targets for drilling sometime this year.
Yeah, thanks, Corey, and great to be back, and happy new year to the listeners too. So just in terms of Sjoli, as you mentioned there in your introduction, it was part of a package of properties that we did acquire from EMX Royalty late last year. Of that package, there are two copper projects in Norway, and as you mentioned, the one gold project in Sweden as well. Really, I guess the main focus so far has been, we do like that VMS belt, and when I talk about VMSs, so both Lokken and Sjoli, which are the two copper projects that we acquired in Norway, are in very high-grade deposit belts. These were massive sulfide systems. Some of them have been in production for almost 300 years, right? So this is a very old mining district in the sense of there were a couple of operations that went for a long time, but there wasn't much regional exploration done around those the existing mines. Now, in the particular case of Sjoli, so that's in the northern part of a district which is called Røros, which is actually one of the biggest copper-producing districts in Norway. And essentially what we have is we have a 150 square kilometre package, claim block, over two old operating mines, or well, they're no longer operating, but there were two former mines on that that property, which were Scholing and Shillingdal. And in between that, we have, and between and beyond, we have over 15 kilometers of prospective stratigraphy for these massive sulfide type systems. And what we've done basically, as soon as we acquired these properties, knowing that the summer was fairly short in Norway, and of course, they're obviously in the winter too now, just as Canada is, one of the first things we did was to get out to Sjoli, go in there. We picked a 4.5 kilometer central section of that prospective stratigraphy, and keeping in mind that block is actually between the two operating mines, so those two old mines were outside of that area. But what we did is we focused on an area where we had four other known occurrences of high-grade copper mineralization on surface. And to be honest, it's really quite extraordinary, Corey, these days to be able to walk over high-grade copper like this on surface. It's never been drill-tested, right? I mean, it really was an eye-opener. So that was the reason for picking this 4.5-kilometer-long belt that lies between these two former mines. So that's really where the focus has been. And the news release we put out last Thursday was really just to give people an update on the targets that are coming out. And there's some really great-looking stuff there to follow up and move forward towards drilling.
So, Eric, has there been any other drill holes or any other exploration done in this 4.5-kilometer area between these two mines?
Very little. So what has happened over the years, Corey, is basically the Geological Survey about 10 or 20 years ago did an airborne geophysical survey over there. And that was really just to make the, sort of as a teaser for companies to come in. But really, there's been no work at all done on this area. There's a few surface scratchings, and people who have gone to our news release will see that there's, within that 4.5-kilometer block, there's some surface scratchings. People have been looking around. But this was all fairly late in the stage. And as I mentioned, these mines, the two former mines, they closed in the mid-1980s. And they really closed because of falling metal prices. As you probably remember, you know, if you go back to the mid-80s, copper was trading at 60, 70 cents a pound. And now we're sort of at $3.60 terrain. So So they basically shut down for two reasons. I mean, those projects at the time, one just because of depressed metal prices. And of course, the other thing that happened in Norway was that oil was discovered, and that's a cash cow. I mean, so at the end of the day, a lot of the mining industry, a lot of the mining projects in Norway effectively just came to a standstill at that point.
Eric, what's the production data on these projects when they were in production?
Yeah, so typically these massive sulfide systems, and they are copper dominant. And if I look at both Sholey and Lochan, I mean, both of those are typically the grade. The copper grades themselves are north of 2% copper. And in fact, in that press release that we did put out last week, there is a photograph of us standing on one of those outcrops, which actually had 2.2% copper. But the other thing to remember, too, these massive sulfide systems also have other metals associated with them. So they also come with high concentrations of zinc. They come with silver and also gold as well. So while copper has historically always been the main metal, and it still is from our perspective, one should also remember that these deposits also come with other metals included.
So what other work should we be expecting here as the company moves towards some sort of drilling? And when do you think you could be drilling at this project?
Yeah, so what we're doing right now, Corey, is we're pulling all the data together. We are in the winter, as I did mention. This is a good time to sort of pull together the data we have. In terms of our own field data, we are pulling together all the geophysical data, all the mapping that's been done, and also the geochemical data. And I should also add, too, that we have done some geochemistry across these zones, and some very big anomalies are coming out of those of that data as well. But in parallel, so that's on our field data, I guess data that we physically collected in the field. In parallel, we are also doing this CARDS AI, artificial intelligence or data mining study, which I sort of view as another tool in this targeting process, where basically what will be done is that every possible combination of geophysical data, geochemistry, geology will basically be pulled together, and we'll look for areas. Effectively, it's a way of saying, okay, this is the 90% of the project that has less interest, and here's the 10% that has by far the most interest for discovery. So really, it's just a way of, just sort of highlighting those areas that really we see the potential for new discovery. So for me, that's also a valid tool in the sense of combining it with our field data.
So, Eric, just to follow up and before we move on to some of the Canadian projects, time frame again and work that we can expect to get to drilling here.
The plan is basically to go into permitting here during Q2 with the targets defined and ideally by Q3. We should be ready to drill now. Now, I would say that the normal process in Norway for permitting is about 2 months. So it could be late Q2, perhaps Q3 that we're drilling, depending on the permitting process.
Okay, well, we'll follow up as some more news hits the market. Obviously, you are just working through all this old data, and hopefully we'll have a drill on the ground, sometime later this year. What about an update on the Canadian properties? As I mentioned, both are with JV partners. There's the Domain property, that's a JV with the Yamana, and Savant Lake, that's a JV with Ethos. What work is going to be done there, and when are you guys going to be drilling on either of these?
So we have the joint venture with Yamana Gold in Manitoba, which is a participating joint venture. We have just a whisker under 30% of that project. What is currently happening on the ground there is that there are some community discussions going on. There is an agreement in place for the First Nations group there. And the idea is to go into permitting very, very soon and be ready to be drilling. I suspect that drilling there will probably happen late Q2, maybe Q3. So that's the current plan. Unfortunately, with all the COVID restrictions, it's been very difficult to get out to all the communities and discuss the work plans with the people. But that is being worked on as we speak. In the case of Savant Lake, and I will be putting an update out on the Canadian projects shortly, probably in the next days or so. The plan at Savant Lake is quite a bit of work has been done between September, between Ethos Gold coming into the project. So there's been some airborne magnetics done, some very high resolution magnetics. And so that targeting process is moving forward quite quickly. I think the plan basically there would be to go into permitting and again, probably be ready for drilling during the summer. But there's a lot of data being collected, I should say the northern summer. So this is obviously there's a lot of data being collected, and that targeting process is moving forward at a pretty good rate of knots. So So the way I look at things now, I think, you know, in terms of our projects, we should have a rig on the ground at Sholey. We should also, certainly by the middle of the year or Q3, have rigs on the ground, probably at Savant Lake and also at Domain as well.
Okay, so you should be drilling on a number of these projects. I do need to ask then, how much cash does the company have to continue to move this targeting forward and to get some of these rigs on the ground?
Yeah, so in terms of the three projects, so maybe I'll start with Savant Lake. So keep in mind that Savant Lake is funded by Ethos, so we do not need to contribute to that joint venture. So we are carried by Ethos, remembering that they are earning into the project. In terms of the other two projects I mentioned, so Domain at Manitoba, you know, we only contribute about 30% because that's our current share of the project. So the cash call, we don't expect a high cash call there. And then, of course, Sholey is 100% ours. So the drilling basically will be funded by us. At the moment, Corey, we probably have about 1.5 million Canadian, which obviously is probably enough to get started on drilling, but obviously not enough for a big drill program anywhere. So really the thought process here is let's move forward with the targeting as best we can, get these things through the permitting process, get ready to drill, and then basically we can at least start drilling with some of those funds. So that's the plan. And likely, as I mentioned, probably Sholey in Norway will be the first cab off the rank, would be my guess at this point in time.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Eric. I will post a link below this interview to the Capella Minerals website and to the news section so everyone can read over that recent news release. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Eric, appreciate your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it.